I'm Mary Angish, and gardening expert Charlie Nardozzi is here. Hi there, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Well, Charlie, it's the return of everyone's favorite game show, Keep It or Compost It. You're going to help answer burning gardening questions and spring gardening dilemmas by letting our audience know what to do. Keep it, compost it, or in some cases, cut it.
Right, depending on the year.
So we'll jump right in with a couple of different scenarios. The first one, cutworms cut off my pepper stem, but the remaining stem is still green. What do I do? Keep it, compost it, cut it?
Compost it. Cutworms can cut off plants like peppers and eggplants and other plants' seedlings right at the ground level, or they can climb up and cut them off a little bit higher. In either case, that pepper plant is going to be very stunted, very unhappy, and it's going to take long to recover and eventually come back. So unless it's a variety that you really love and you can't find it anywhere else in the world, I would compost it and start all over.
Oh, okay. Scenario number two. My hardy hibiscus shows no signs of life. What do I do?
Be patient. Keep it. Because I've had this situation happen with hardy hibiscus, with rose of Sharon, with clethora, with butterfly bush. All of those plants are very slow to leaf out in the spring. So you think they're dead, they're not coming back, and then bam, all of a sudden, end of May, June comes, and they're starting to leaf out. So I would leave your hardy hibiscus and be patient with it.
Okay, next scenario. Deer ate the bottom of my arborvitae hedge. What should I do?
I think you're going to have to cut this one. Because arborvitae, cedars, any of those needle evergreens, pine, spruce, fir, hemlock, when the bottom branches have been killed back, in this case browsed back by the deer, and you're not seeing any kind of new growth coming from them, they're probably dead and they will not come back. So the two options are to cut it down and create another hedge of evergreens, or plant some shorter evergreen in front of that one where the low area is, maybe like a juniper, for example, to cover the view through it. So just have to be a little more creative.
Next one, my tomato seedlings are tall, leggy, and flopping over. Do I compost them and buy new ones?
No, keep them, because tomatoes have that unique ability to root all along their stem. So in your garden, create a trench, put the root ball down, and then run the stem horizontally in that trench, and then at the end of it, where the leaves are of your tomato, curve it up and then bury the stem. And you have a little 6-inch tall plant there. They will root all along that stem, and you'll see, you'll have a fabulous crop of tomatoes.
Next one, my arborescence hydrangea has little life on the stems. What do I do?
Keep it! And be patient with it too, because the arborescence hydrangea, even if it dies back to the ground, will actually sprout from the roots and the crown, and it'll grow fast enough that you'll actually get flowers. So you want to keep that one.
Okay, that's the scenarios that we've got for keep it or compost it or cut it. And now let's answer some listener questions, Charlie. This one from Sarah. Sarah writes, chocolate mint had crept to a few feet of a group of Oropet lilies, and the beetles never touched them. Asiatic lilies that were 15 feet away were decimated. I think the little buggers, Sarah writes, don't like to drop their eggs on mint. It worked. Be very careful with mints in a flower bed, though. They can be extremely invasive.
Very true. You don't normally want to have mint in a flower bed, especially a spearmint or a peppermint, but chocolate mint and some of the specialty mints, orange mint, banana mint, they're not as aggressive, and I've never heard that having a mint plant underneath your Orient Pet or Oriental or Asiatic lilies will deter the red lily leaf beetle. So it's probably something that you would actually want to try. Red lily leaf beetle lays their eggs on the actual lily plant, not on the ground. So I'm not sure that's what's happening. But whatever is working, you should just do it.
Next, Alice writes, last year I emailed you about my shamrocks getting this weird thing that looks a little crusty on the leaves. You suggested I use rainwater, and I did. You also thought it might be liquid fertilizer. I do keep them out of the sun. They get lots of indirect light. I don't let them dry out too much. But even though I try to do all the right things, they still get this crusty stuff on their leaves.
It's time for a stronger intervention for this one, Alice. So I would take that oxalis. I would remove it, you know, take all the soil off of the little bulblets that are there. Clean the pot too with a 10% bleach solution. Get it some fresh potting soil in there and replant them. It's probably a fungus that's overwintering in the soil or on the pot and then reinfecting the leaves as they grow back. And hopefully doing that, they'll be able to grow strong and look beautiful.
And this one from Anna. Anna writes, I'm following your no-dig gardening and I've just laid out a bunch of compost on my garden beds. You mentioned for both Brussels sprouts and the nasturtium to not add too much compost, but that's the whole top of of my garden. What suggestions do you have in that case?
Well, in that case, Anna, don't have to worry too much, because with no-dig gardening, you're only putting maybe a 2 to 3 inch thick layer of compost on the top, and you're planting, of course, those plants, especially the Brussels sprouts, into the ground below it. So it's not going to have that much of a nitrogen effect on your plants. They should grow fine.
Send questions, gardening@vermontpublic.org, and listen to this wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.